Duck football, man, coming at us. Let's chop it up. Covers the program for Scoop Duck. Check out the work online, scoopduck.com. On the X platform, it's at M. Torres Sports. Welcome back, a returning champ, Max Torres. Max, how's life treating you as, I guess we count down to Montana State?
Things are going well, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm excited for the football season. You can definitely feel it creeping up, and I'll be football out here in SoCal for high school, and then definitely going to be, you know, covering the heck out of the Ducks as well.
You know, I'm not big on diving into recruiting, but obviously acknowledge how critical it is. Over the weekend, you posted about a huge score on corner. What could you tell us about Davon Benjamin and actually how things are shaping up for this class of 2026?
Yeah, Davon Benjamin is a huge, huge get for the Ducks on the recruiting trail. It feels like I'm saying that after every commit.
Right.
But honestly, that's fitting with the way this group is shaping out for Dan Lanning and company. His commitment gives Oregon the number three recruiting class in the country. Incredibly versatile defensive back out here in Southern California out of Oaks Christian, the same high school that brought the Ducks, Kayvon Thibodeau. He's listed as a corner, but I interviewed his coach after the commitment and was told that this is a guy who can play all the positions in the defensive backfield. So this was one that the Ducks had been recruiting for a number of years. He talked about just how far back he went with Lanning and Rashad Badu, their relationships being a critical part, and then the stability at the top with Dan Lanning looking like he's the guy for the Ducks long term. So this is a really big pickup for the Ducks, like I said, and probably puts a bow on their secondary haul here in the 2026 class.
So a kind of a general question. I mean, when you consider Jim Harbaugh is now in the NFL, Nick Saban walked away from the game. You know, Ryan Day won it, Kirby Smart, Dabo, a few others. How big of a brand Oregon is, the reputation. Is it fair to say Dan Lanning is now one of the more high-profile coaches in the country?
I think that's probably fair to say. And even though he is pretty young, you look at, like you mentioned, the program that he's heading and just what he's done since he got to Oregon. And the Ducks are continually, consistently in the running for the best players in the country, whether that's from the high school ranks or from the transfer portal ranks. That the Ducks are there, and they're among the top 10 programs in the sport, I think you could pretty confidently say. So I would definitely say that Dan Lanning's up there in that conversation.
Talking with Max Torres, Scoop Duck, you posted about Will Stein's comments after a recent practice. So let's do kind of a unit-by-unit evaluation. Receivers, incorporate the Evan Stewart injury, hopefully a healthy Gary Bryant. Not a lot of returning production, Max. What's your level of concern, optimism, kind of your read on that room?
Sure, you're talking the receiver room?
Yeah, I'm sorry, receivers. That would help.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to clarify. I'm super optimistic about the receiver room. I think that it's fair and probably appropriate to have some level of concern given the Evan Stewart injury. But Gary Bryant, when he's healthy, has given the Ducks some fairly good production. So you hope as a Duck fan that he is going to be 100% by the time the season rolls around. And that's definitely the vibe that I got from him when I was in Eugene for Oregon Football Media Day. But I'm honestly, Steve, just leaning into the excitement with the wide receiver room, with the unknown, because there are so many talented young receivers in that room that we just haven't gotten a look at. And I know that Kyler Casper is one of the guys in that conversation. Jeremiah McClellan, obviously DeCorian Moore, the number one wide receiver from the 2025 class, comes to Eugene with all-world expectations from Duck fans. I think that he's shown us that he'll be able to at least hold his own at the next level, and I don't want to put too much more on him than that, but he looks like he's incredibly gifted, and it's going to be fun to see him make an impact on this offense. So the receivers, it's really a next man up in the truest sense. Heck of a way to start your tenure in Eugene if you're Ross Douglas coming over to replace Junior Adams. But I think with this wide receiver discussion, not enough is being said about Kenyon Sadiq, because even though he's a tight end, I think that is an all-around, do-it-all superstar in the making for Oregon on the offensive side of the ball.
So same question, quarterbacks. I've concocted a theory I've been harping on all summer. If Dan Lanning and Will Stein were not really in love with Dante Moore, or even Austin Novosad, I think we'd have another Nix or Gabriel here as a vet transfer. So your thoughts on that and kind of the guys who are going to run this offense this year?
Yeah, just like the receivers, I'm really excited about the quarterback situation at Oregon. I know that it definitely lends itself to I guess a bit of skepticism as far as what the offense is going to be able to do. But the talent's there, whether you're looking at Dante Moore or Austin Novosad. Even Luke Moga has obviously impressed during his limited amount of exposure since he's gotten to Eugene. But Will Stein has done a tremendous job with quarterbacks. I think maybe you could make the argument that it's going to be a little bit harder for him to get to that level of offensive production and firepower that we've seen in the past couple of years, just because this is the first quote-unquote inexperienced quarterback that we will have seen the Ducks trot out to lead them in 2025. But Dante Moore, to that point, has had some valuable experience as a starter at UCLA. Sure, maybe it didn't look the best, but I still think that's really valuable experience. So he's someone that I think you can be confident in if you're a Ducks fan, because he's got incredible poise. Really carries himself with some great maturity, and man, that guy has all the arm talent in the world. So maybe a little bit more upside from a physical standpoint and athletic standpoint than Dylan Gabriel last year.
On the other side of the ball, of course, that secondary just disappeared. Either they ran out of eligibility or they're in the NFL. They made a big score or two in the portal. Dylan Thieneman's getting a lot of love. Jaleel Florence is healthy. You wrote about Tosh Lapoy a few days ago. What's your feel about what the back end of this defense might look like?
My feel for the back end of this defense is that it has the potential to be even better than Oregon secondary last year, which might sound like a lofty statement, but I don't think that it's really that far-fetched given the physical profile that they're going to be dealing with now. You're talking about multiple guys over 6 foot, long, fast, physical. The sentiment from Lapoy, and I guess really just talking to everyone in the past couple weeks, has just been that these are defensive backs that I think really are kind of more tailor-made or fit this Oregon defense and kind of what they want to do. So I could see this being some bumps in the road. You got some growing pains with young DBs, but luckily you have Thieneman out there as a really veteran guy. I think some people are maybe forgetting about Jaleel Florence, who was a starter at one point for the Ducks in 2023, the last time he was healthy. So you have some good building blocks to work with there. And then you have some really, really talented younger guys that are just chomping at the bit. And if I'm Chris Hampton and Rashad Wadud, I'm looking at those guys saying, hey, it's your turn. It's your time to step up. Theron Johnson's another guy they brought in from the portal out of Northwestern. So a lot of people feel like they're just kind of dominating with the transfer portal discussion, which to their credit they are, but we've seen Lanning dial it back year by year, and I'm just so excited to see those young guys get cut loose.
And a couple final thoughts, Max Torres. Scoop Duck, the linebackers, now they bring back some solid experience. Obviously, Bryce Betcher, the speed of Devin Jackson, Tuioti's played good ball, and again, the young guys who might be ready. What's your evaluation of the group the coaches have put together at inside and outside linebacker?
Yeah, I think that the outside linebackers are a little bit more of a known commodity right now. Of course, with guys like Mateo Uiagalelei and Tatum Tuioti coming back, even Blake Purchase, has looked phenomenal in the time that we've seen him. Seems like last season, didn't necessarily go as planned. They did want to use him for a redshirt year, but then kind of cut him loose in the playoffs, and we all know how that ended up. So the outside linebacker group is just full of freak athletes. And then the inside linebacker room has some really talented guys as well. I know that we're kind of looking to see who that third linebacker, maybe fourth linebacker, is going to be behind Betcher, Jackson, And I think you're also going to see plenty of Jerry Mixon this year as well. So it's time for one of those guys from the 24 class, Kamar Matuidi, Braden Platt, Dylan Williams. Those are guys that are going to be in the mix there. So I think that they have a lot of ability, but linebacker is a really tough position to play, and they're going to be leaned on to know this defense inside and out like the back of their hand. So I think that that's a group that I'm going to be really excited to see for Coach Brian Michalowski. A lot of really good players there, but we just haven't seen a lot of them. So you got to hope that the light switch is kind of the switch has flipped for at least one of those guys. And, you know, they're going to rock with what they have. They didn't go to the portal for a linebacker, and I think that says a lot.
And the last thing I want to get to is kind of a general preseason thought. Year one, we finished the expanded 12-team playoff. They've tweaked it. So be it seeding or who gets a first-round bye, you know, if we said that Max has the final say, you like 12, you want to grow to 16, do you want to go back to the BCS? What would be your preference in how we determine our national champ in football?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, call me old-fashioned, but I kind of liked the four-team layout that they had. And I think, really, there's so much discussion with the playoff, and honestly, I feel like it gets so watered down and just beat to heck that I don't wade into those waters very often, Steve. But I kind of liked just the smaller field, and I think a big part of that is because it just made the regular season that much more valuable. And I think as you expand it, you water down the value of the regular season. So it's an interesting discussion for sure. But with the expanded playoffs, you have a bigger margin for error, which I guess is good. I think the expanded playoffs, such an obvious money grab. So I'm a bit of a traditionalist, I guess, in wanting a smaller playoff field.
Yeah, by the way, for anybody thinking they're going to expand because it looks better and has anything to do with anything but money, yeah, that's not reality. Folks, he's Max Torres. Keeps you wired into Oregon football for Scoop Duck. Online, scoopduck.com on the X platform. Check out at Scoop Duck on 3 for our guest at M. Torres Sports. Max, appreciate the time, the information, the insight. Be well. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and look forward to catching up when things finally kick off.
All right. Sounds good, Steve. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right. Take it easy.